the bulk of the funding will go for the internally displaced in the eastern Congo and refugees in Uganda. The big needs are registration of refugees and IDPs, and also shelter is very important, increased protection monitoring. We need to improve facilities in camps and sites. In Burundi, which hasn't been part of earlier appeals, we are going to be constructing a new refugee camp for 10,000 people. And also a lot of the facilities in areas which have been receiving either internally displaced people or refugees, they need to be repaired, overhauled, and even new centres like health centres, for example, in Uganda need to be built for these people.
What about the IDPs that are in other areas? How will they be helped?
Part of it is monitoring and finding out how they are. And at the moment, that's difficult because of the security situation. There are 31 camps that we help to run, but we can currently only get access to about a third of them, and we rely on partners to try and get information from the others. But one of the major needs, aside from protection, is shelter material. In this appeal in the eastern Congo and the provinces there, we're specifically asking to distribute 16,600 transitional shelters. And we've already started providing shelter materials to people in places in North Kivu and areas near the provincial capital, Goma. But a lot more needs to be done. And looking forward into the year, part of our appeal is based on anticipated further displacements of people during the year. 50,000, we expect, new IDPs. And we also expect 50,000 returnees and more refugees into the three other countries that are included in this appeal, Burundi, Rwanda, and Uganda.
How many people have been affected by the conflict that's been going on in the DRC?
There's been relative peace since 2009 in eastern Congo, when a peace treaty was signed between the government and a myriad of armed groups. But that all broke down last April, March, when a former rebel group who had joined the armed forces mutinied, basically. And that's kicked off a wave of displacement. It's very difficult to pin down figures, but at least 500,000 have been displaced since then in the eastern provinces. Most of them are internally displaced. Tens of thousands have gone to neighboring countries, mostly to Uganda, I think some 60,000 or something. But it's not just the fighting between this rebel group, the M23, and the government, but also other groups sort of started fighting each other. So there's general lawlessness and the waves of major fighting that have forced people to flee. And last November, the main rebel group, the M23, captured the provincial capital of North Kivu province, causing more displacement. But in the last week, this group has, after several weeks of relative peace and peace talks, this group has splintered, causing a lot of tension in the area as to what's going to come next, but also causing some displacement. More than 4,500 people went to Uganda, and there's, we know of internal displacement within North Kivu province, but we don't have exact figures. It's, you know, it's difficult in this security situation to be able to pin down exact figures.
And as you explained earlier, a lot of the money is in anticipation of further displacement of people as the instability continues. And you also mentioned that thousands will be returning back home. So what is life going to be like for those returning back to still maybe an area where there is a lot of insecurity?
Peace talks have been held between the M23 and the government, but nothing has come of that. There was recently an agreement between countries in the region that was brokered by the UN. This was an agreement in Addis Ababa just before the latest developments, the splintering of the M23. As for the people returning, well, they're returning to an area which is rich agriculturally, but there's so much instability and uncertainty. And the possibility is that they will have to go on the run again.